So for the next 3 hours and 45 minutes, it's Colin Kaepernick talk. No?
Roll back over in your grave, Grant. Roll back over.
Man, I heard the Friday show with you and Grant, Doug. It was festive. I am not talking about Colin Kaepernick again. Yeah. Unless he's on another team.
Yeah. That's what he said. So we'll have
to
see.
So can we do it?
I told him when the cat's away, you
That's
know.
Right. It's time.
Yes.
Jason Ross in for Grant. Grant's gone all week long. Man, he's got the best vacation schedule.
Come on.
In the history of vacation schedules. But one last little break for him because it's coming. Basketball, we were just saying, I mean, we're at the crossroads really of everything going on now, but the reality is basketball is really almost here too.
Man, we're talking a couple weeks. What was that, the 25th?
I think so,
or
for media day, training camp. And
once that happens,
it's on.
It's on.
The first preseason game is October 2nd, less than a month away.
Oh, baby. Yes, sir. I like to hear that.
And that's just after basically one full weekend of college football. We're in the final month of baseball. NFL begins this week. We made it. We made it through kind of the summer, which is always the toughest time. It's still a good time, but now we're at the fun stuff.
Thank the NBA for that.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, every day, Kyrie Irving, it was this, it was that. It was just report on report on report. I'd never seen this much action by the NBA in an offseason. It just seemed like it never stopped.
Yeah, it kept going. Football's always been good at that. But basketball, I mean, that is a big offseason to have the high-profile players. People are already into free agency. But the high-profile players that were traded – and the storylines there to have two all-stars traded for each other here recently and to have really since DeMarcus got traded, Doug. I mean, you think about the amount of all-stars that have been moved that are on different teams. I can't think of a year or an offseason that's had this.
Gosh, dog it, Golden State Warriors.
Trade somebody.
Yep. I mean, you're trying to match up. That means big pieces have to move because they have four really big pieces that are really good and relatively really young. So that's why you're going to see a lot of movement. You look at IT. I don't think it was you because last time that we were on, I think it was
Grant. Yeah, he hadn't been traded yet.
Yeah. And I told Grant, I said, I could see him missing half the season. And Grant went, what? And I said, yeah. I mean, you're talking about a hip. You're talking about a contract year. There are so many different pieces to that puzzle. And all reports say that that is highly likely. It might even be after All-Star break. And as you well know, and myself now, All-Star break is so late in the season. There's only like 25 games after All-Star break. So you could, if you're Cleveland, you could probably be looking at 57 games without IT.
Which to me, in the end, it obviously wasn't a deal breaker. They've done the deal, but wouldn't have bothered me. I'd rather him there sooner. But if you're getting him there, you want Isaiah there for the last month, the last 2 months, 3 months of what you hope is a long playoff run.
And I would say a couple points. One being, you know, he's a relatively smart player, and he's playing with the smartest player probably in the world in LeBron James. It's not going to take him a lot of time to kind of get that flow. I think that he will get that. LeBron will make sure that he gets that. The bigger question is at that time of the year is being able, Jason, to get into basketball shape. Mm-hmm. And they're winding down for the playoffs. So, you know, there's a few things that you have to worry about if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, which then brings a bigger question into play. And that question is, do you move that number one pick and try to make that big, big splash move and go for it? You and I were talking. If you were a GM, would you make that move?
It depends on what it is, but I definitely explore that. Definitely.
What if it's a starting caliber player?
Yeah, I'd really think about it. You run the risk of one of the things we talked about, too, is you're kind of going all in for this year, which is understandable, and all in to
Is
keep
it?
I think you have to do everything you can right now to compete with LeBron James. You have as good of a chance as any team, well, as anyone other than the Warriors to win the championship. But you also run the risk of losing LeBron.
Yep.
You wouldn't have that pick anymore.
Right.
Isaiah, whoever this player you bring in. I mean, you could rehaul it, but you could also then say, yeah, we're just doing a full reboot because we'll have a ton of money.
You just went to the store for Thanksgiving. You look on the kitchen cabinet. There's food everywhere. You walk out. You come back in, and the kitchen is bare.
Yeah.
That would just be a bad, bad thing if you're Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't think that this is something they have to really be particular because, Jason, this is the type of thing that you don't recover from for quite some time.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Kings trading away our nucleus. Look at Portland trading away their nucleus back in the day. It's taken a long time. You lose a number one player in the world, an all-star, a number one pick, all those things. Boy, oh boy, you could be in trouble.
Yeah, so we're going to get into some basketball certainly today at some point. There's baseball as we get into the final month. We've got opening week of the National Football League. Lots of stuff to get to there. And then the first full weekend of college football happened this last weekend. Our first text out of the gate, any update on Zeke Elliott's appeal? Still nothing at this moment. All the word was we would find out today.
Come on, nothing.
Like you said, I think he's playing this weekend. The longer it takes, it could be he's playing all year, or they delay this and keep delaying or get things strung out. Who knows? But when we get any word on that, we definitely will pass it along. The other thing NFL-wise, at least off the top that we can mention, Tampa Bay and Miami set to go for this game week one. That game's not going to happen in Miami because of Hurricane Irma. Apparently, there's some video already. It may be the biggest hurricane in the history of, like, at least where it is now.
Right.
Level 5, I mean, who knows? Oof. It's got days to
before it comes to shore.
Landfall. But, man, they're already moving that. So they might move it to their bye week, which I think was week 9 or week 11, or they may find a different location.
They both don't have the same bye week.
Yeah, they actually do, which is strange.
No way.
Yeah, Miami and Tampa Bay.
That's a done deal. I would do that. No question.
How about, I don't know if this is crazy thought. I saw someone tweet it, so it's not my original thought. But what about, I don't know where the location could be to play it. Some neutral site.
Okay.
With all the proceeds going to
the damages
of Hurricane Irma / Harvey. There are going to be people that get devastated by this.
Yeah, those are the things I think that it's imperative that sports do is make sure that they take care of the patrons, the customers, the people who make this thing go. If you're able to make some money, then you're able to donate that money. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
I don't even know that you could play. Could you play it in Florida? Would you have to go to northern Florida? Obviously, Miami's in south. So
right.
would you stay in the state? Would you go someplace else? Because you got to think about home field advantage. There's a lot of things that come into, especially NFL football, that makes it special, and home field advantage is one of them.
Yeah, so the league is still exploring some other options, a neutral site, some other place. Where could they go? But this is a few days away now. I mean, we're already to Tuesday with the holiday and got the game that's set to go this weekend, so we'll get an update there. We'll let you know. The other thing I told you, we're texting and communicating what we're going to talk about on the show. Can we do the rest of the show on UCLA's win over Texas A&M?
Negative.
No?
Negative. You mean UCLA? Hold on. Say that again.
UCLA's comeback win over Texas A&M? Yeah,
okay, so you're going to call it a comeback win.
What are we calling it?
We're going to call it a gift.
Yeah.
An accident.
A choke. All of it.
A choke.
Not Man. A heroic performance by the gutty little Bruins.
No, we're not calling it that. I'm surprised you still have a voice.
Yeah.
Were you just losing it?
I was. I'd be curious. When was the last time you've gone to a game? Like, can you go to a game as a fan and not really be bothered? I guess here. Have you gone to do you go to sporting events like that?
Every once in a while, but it's been a little bit.
Man, I always wonder, it's weird for you. You've played in the level.
In L.A. sometimes. Usually,
would you go to a Dodger game
one or two,
or
but for the most part, yeah, here is different.
Yeah.
But even so, once you're in it and everyone's going, no one really bothers you.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. But I was I really had everything going on. I can't go to that many UCLA games because of conflicts with college football with Sac State, and had a chance to go. And so, of course, I'm going to go. I'm going to enjoy myself, and I feel pretty good about what they might do. And then it was awful, Doug. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't do anything. It's like, all right, it's 10-3. It's not too bad. It's 17-3. Okay, well, they turned it over twice. 24-3. And my goodness, 31-3. It just kept getting worse. And I'm thinking, are they this bad? They looked really bad. It was hot. It was sticky. It was gross. It was just I was miserable. And, this is the team I want to win. It's college football. I love college football. I want to have fun. They don't have to win. Of course I want them to. But it was more so how they were playing. It was embarrassing. And then UCLA, I think it was when it was 31-3. They had one drive where they literally got a first down, and if I was a player, I'd have been embarrassed because like everybody kind of stood up and did the mock. Hey,
ouch!
First, I mean, it was mocking them because they were inept, and you're like, they just gained 6 yards for a first down. But that's all people were excited about. Like, look, we're not a joke. It's
what about your big time quarterback, man? What's up with that?
Well, he had no time early. I'm not even defending him, but he had no time early. He did make some bad passes, but then, I mean, 294 yards and 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Got to give him credit for that.
In the fourth quarter. But I will say this, as much as a Bruin homer that I would be, I honestly put more of it on Texas A&M.
I would too. Yeah. And so does Tony Busby.
That is not cool.
That is not cool. The member of the
– he's on the Board of Regents Board of Regents.
He's calling for jobs.
That to me, Doug, is a – overreaction? That's a fan post.
Okay.
That's a caller. That's a texter. That's maybe a talk show host saying, coach has got to go. There's got to be a sense of your role, decorum, whatever it is, as someone that's on the board. You could be upset. You can't go on to social media and suggest that your guy is fired.
Yeah, and he's like doubled down. I mean, he
knew it. He said, I know this what this will do, but he needs to be gone now. And I thought, come on now. I hate that we're in that society because, to be honest with you, I'm getting texts at the game. Well, when's the Chip – because Chip Kelly's like the rumor at UCLA. When's the Chip Kelly era starting? I'm like,
well, that's a that, –
come on, the game's not over.
He's the rumor at Texas A&M as well.
So he's going to be the guy, right, the it guy everywhere. But Mora was set to be fired. They win. Well, again, you were down 44-10. You were a bad team. You came back and won. Good for you. It's not like everything's figured out, and the same can be said for Texas A&M.
Exactly.
But I hate that. After week one, why are both guys gone?
Just overreaction. That's this microwavable society that we live in. Instantaneous, like you're going to fix it like a new coach. Like, look at Texas. How about that, Texas
right.
A&M?
You
Herman, you just fired Strong. Yep. Now you got Herman. Now what? It looked like the same team to me. Defense inept, not handling it. When you look at Texas A&M, you can end UCLA. You can do two things. You can say UCLA was terrible. Oh, they came back and they won. Or you can look at Texas A&M and say, you know what? UCLA was supposed to be a pretty good team. You are putting a smackdown on
them. In their house.
And you lose your quarterback.
Yep.
Everything goes away. All the mojo, all the swagger goes away, and they come back and win. If it was just there was none of those storylines, okay, maybe you got a little something. I just think total overreaction. Social media and a lot of stuff in the wrong hands is just not a good thing.
Yeah, and to be on the Board of Regents, I mean, you just can't do
you
that.
You can't do
yeah,
that,
that
man.
That was bad. And the strangest part about this comeback to me, I can't say I've ever seen anything like it, second largest comeback in college football history. But usually when those things happen, I don't know, you block a kick, you return a punt, you get a pick six, A&M didn't turn the ball over.
No.
They just got stopped on downs or punted. I mean, they had some – UCLA had a ton of breaks. I mean, the ball that went through the receiver, the defensive back's hands, Rosen threw another one up for grabs that scored.
The touchdown that he threw up for grabs.
Yeah,
I'm thinking
that shouldn't happen.
Defensive backs, what are you
– where are you?
Do you not – first of all, there was like six guys there, three
right.
UCLA, three Texas A&M. You would when they're close like that, that's when I would probably take my eye off of my guy and just take a quick glance back to see where the ball's at.
Bad route. Why is everybody in the same spot?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he just throws it up, touchdown. Right then I kind of went,
something's happening. Yeah. And then for it to be fully executed and to finish, and I think I saw the stat that, you know, Texas A&M's just gouging the Bruins, running the ball, running it. They're just too big up front. I think in the second half they ran the ball 7 times. With that huge of a lead, I mean, you don't have to take a knee.
Oh, you do have to just go back and look at the last Super Bowl and
yes.
see that you might want to run the ball and have some clock management about yourself.
Yeah.
I was running the ball, man.
Yeah.
I mean – I don't know how long it takes for each play, but if you run a play, you know, take your time, get up to the line, use the clock. You got to know that that's going to milk it down if you are going to be punting the ball anyway. And you're up by, what were they, up 24?
Well, the peak was 34.
34.
But, yeah. Okay. But even like as it's going, you know.
The peak.
Yeah, 44-10.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Up 34 points in the third quarter. And
like 3 minutes left in the third.
So my point is, even if you, what's that, 5 touchdowns?
Yeah, they scored 5 touchdowns in a row.
So, if you're going to have the ball 5 times, take all the plays, take all the time off the clock, you do the math. I'm pretty sure you're probably going to get a first down someplace
right.
around the line. bad game management. But I would the overreaction. Now, some of them say, you know, when Johnny Manziel was there, they were 9-4. They've been 8-5 and 8-5 since. So Johnny Manziel kind of made
Sumlin.
Yeah. Do you take that or?
That's a tough one. I mean, I think he was considered a good coach. I still think he's a good coach.
I do too.
I mean, it's a really bad loss. You know, for them, it's honestly both teams. How do you recover? What's the next game? What's the next 2 weeks look like? You know, week one, we're going to jump on everybody and say, oh, this team looks good, this team. It settles in. You kind of figure out who you are after a while. So it's our first offering on both teams. And we'll probably do this week in the NFL as well and go, wow, the Ravens look great or the Packers were amazing.
No, we won't say that.
We don't think so?
No.
On which one? Packers we won't.
Yeah,
you don't
see
want
how
to.
You did that?
The Seahawks are amazing.
There you go, my friend. But
that's the way it works.
Hot take. Where will Chip Kelly be? Will he be at UCLA or will he be at Texas A&M?
Or wherever he wants, right?
Well, I said to you, Texas A&M, are they in the SEC? West? Is that, I think they're in the West.
Yeah, all those things change.
So,
yeah.
That school, great support, plenty of money, incredible facilities in the SEC. So you're going to get all the love. Or you go UCLA, that, you know, they're looking to be the new SC in California. I don't know where Chip Kelly would go. He would probably go to where you'd get the best recruits, I would say.
Yeah, and I feel like in college.
We just fired both of those.
Yeah, we did, right?
I'm sorry.
You get a little more time, a little. Like if you do any, like Saban, I don't know what it would take for Alabama to fire him. Like he would have to, he's going to lose the job when he wants to be done, right? There's no way he gets, unless there's some
death,
sort of
I think might
that
be
or transgression. Like, but even then, it's like, you're Nick Saban. You've won us how many championships and 11 games a year?
Or we're always in it.
Yeah, I can look the other way on this one. But I'm not suggesting anything happened, but you know what I mean. I think he's Urban Meyer. There's a few guys that are, I don't know what they would have to do to lose their, oh, wow, what happened? He was 6-5? All right, get him next year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not.
I mean, at some point you have to think they're going to have a down year. Somebody has a down year, but it's that's anomaly. It's a one. It's a down year because they get the best recruits. Obviously, though, when you who was saying this? The name leaves me, but they were talking. Oh, University of Washington head coach Peterson was saying that playing against Alabama, every single box was checked off. That's how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot make a mistake. If it's in special teams, you're not that good, they're going to take advantage there. If it's turnovers, they're going to take advantage of there. You don't have good DBs, wherever it's at,
they'll find
because they have everything checked off. That's extremely impressive from Coach Saban and his staff.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes these better teams, obviously, just the depth, the amount of recruits they can have, how well they recruit. And so if you're Chip Kelly, probably where you think you can recruit the best, where
– Texas.
Yeah, but do you think you're – well, what's tougher competition competing against Texas and Baylor and Oklahoma?
Texas isn't that good right now.
Yeah, the true. or UCLA where it's like – it's SC.
SC.
Yeah, but then – and now people are – you know, Peterson's coming in and getting kids from Southern California. Oregon is and Utah's and – I don't know, you just got to find the better guys.
Yeah, I would say where – the only thing is you do have to look at how they break up, because how they break up with him is how they're going to break up with you. Remember that, my
that's
friend.
That's a good point. But I think if you've got it good in college, I know guys always flirt with the pros, but I think I'd stay there for the long haul and just kind of be the face of the university.
That's what you're seeing Saban do.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer, that's some of them do that. And, I mean, look at what they're getting paid.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible money. And then you got, you know, sponsorships and all. Man, oh, man. Yeah.
5 years from now, is Harbaugh still at Michigan?
No.
Pros?
Yeah.
Or some other school?
I think he wants to go back to the pros.
Kind of like Pete Carroll did. He was wildly successful. People said he was a bad pro coach, which really wasn't true.
Right.
But then he goes back and he's successful with Seattle.
You're a bad pro coach when somebody like Belichick comes in
and does
and
it
and has
level.
All that success. Yeah. But then you go and you show what you can do with the Seahawks. I just think looking at him, either he turns into what was the coach's name at Penn State?
Oh, Paterno?
He turns into Paterno because he's kind of got the hat. And
right.
He wears the same thing every day. So either he turns into that or he goes back to the pro somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go to some phone calls here at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. More college football discussion with a reporter from College Football News, Phil Harrison, joins us at 6:15. Let's check in with Darren on the phone lines. Hey, Darren.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, what about possible Chip Kelly going to Florida? McElwain still keeps having problems there at Florida. I mean, Florida really hasn't found a solid coach probably in the last 12, 15 years, you know,
yeah.
Since Spurrier left, you know?
Is McElwain in year two or three at Florida?
He's in year three.
Okay.
Yeah, I think some of these, Darren, some of these big-time jobs like that, I don't think it matters what year you're in. They want success, and they want it now.
True.
Unless you bring in a guy that has – the history of success behind him, like a Chip Kelly, they would probably be more apt to give him a little time because he can say, let me get my guys in. Once I get my guys in, we're going to run it the way we want to run it. Darren, I think that you hear Chip Kelly's name affiliated with any big-time job, Florida,
yeah.
Texas A&M, UCLA, you can go on and on.
Yeah, definitely. And Texas A&M with Sutherland, man, I mean, the guy's a great – offensive-minded coach, but the guy just never preaches defense, never has a defense. Even when he was a coach at Houston, he's all offensive-minded. He needs to find out where he is defensively and get his defensive coordinators worked out. That's the problem with him as a head coach.
There you go. Thank you, Darren. And that conference, too, when Alabama's got great – all those guys that go to the pros that play great defense.
What is your take on that game?
On Alabama, Ohio, Florida State?
Yeah.
I just feel so badly for Francois, the quarterback,
that was
getting hurt.
Terrible.
I felt like, I mean, it was super competitive first half. It just started to get a little separation. It just the injury kind of derailed things. And I wasn't blown away by Alabama, but kind of like you said earlier, they're just solid all the way through.
They are. I mean, so many turnovers, special teams, mishaps, different things. For a little bit of a sloppy game, all of a sudden, but to your point, it's like, oh, they turned the ball over. Oh, they turned the ball over. Well, that's what you do. You make somebody turn the ball over, then you take advantage of them. That's what Alabama does.
A text here says, hey, guys, as influential members of the sports media, you know it's never too early to discuss the Heisman Trophy. So who do you think won the trophy this weekend, Lamar Jackson or Josh Rosen?
I just can't personally believe that Lamar Jackson isn't being talked about the way that a coming back Heisman player should be talked about and then go out and deliver. What do you have, 400 and some odd?
Yeah.
Come on. It should be his to lose it. Now, if he was just a guy that didn't deliver, I mean, he's out there delivering. Now, his team fell off, lost three in a row at the end of the year. A lot of different things happened. But if you're not talking Lamar Jackson right now, bah humbug.
Yeah. Yeah, he's And
there'll be some other ones that
sure.
Come up,
oh yeah, we got
on.
A long way to go on that. So more texts at 44-1140, more calls 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. It's also the opening week of the NFL. Have you seen some of the quarterback matchups this week? Yeah, we'll discuss that next here on KHDK. Hey, make sure you're listening here pretty shortly on KHDK with our text to win opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see Oakland play New York on September 17th and a ride to the game courtesy of Capital Corridor. For more information, go to KHDK.com. Jason Ross, Doug Christie, as Grant is off all week. We have A's baseball coming up tonight, 6:45, as they take on the Angels, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, text line 44-1140. Before we get some thoughts on the NFL's opening week, let's check in with Jack, who's next on KHDK. Hey, Jack.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Great. Now that college football is back, it is my favorite time of the year.
Who's your team, Jack?
I'm an alumni of the U, so it's all about the U.
Okay, there you go.
You guys were talking earlier about, you know, what would it take for Saban to essentially get fired? And outside of, like, committing an actual crime or something like Penn State, seriously, I mean, if you put yourself in the athletic director's shoes and you find out that, yeah, he cut some corners, he did some kind of shady stuff to get recruits, based on his success, would you want to get rid of him? I mean, unless it's something huge, 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 like a real-life crime, I'd be willing to say, you know what, we'll suspend him a couple of games, sure, but he's not leaving.
Yeah, it's one of those, Doug, where you say, well, we better have a heck of another option. Who would be a better option? I mean, what could you come up with that's better than Saban?
I mean, there really isn't a better option.
I mean, I'm jealous. I am jealous of all the success that Alabama has had.
Yeah.
Don't be jealous, Jack. It'll be okay, buddy.
Yeah.
The U will come back sometime. But
fine.
You know, the interesting, when you listen to Jack, and you brought this up, that's kind of the nature and the place we are in sports. Like, if you win, I'll look the other way.
Oh, of course. But you don't, then these things get magnified. You know, same infraction at whatever school and then Alabama.
Yeah, but you got to understand, if you're winning and I look the other way, now there's just a stick of dynamite.
Right.
And however long that fuse is for you to mess up, because as soon as you mess up, it's going to blow up.
Right.
And that's just the nature of what it is.
And I'm sure people are looking for ways to cut him down, to find a flaw in the program. I can't say he's been perfect, but we haven't heard of a lot of things with Alabama.
No, I mean, you have heard some stuff with the, but this isn't under his control, meaning the players going out. You know,
sure.
You're 18, you're wild and out. It does. It happens all the time. Not to say that that's okay. You want them to, but that you're learning.
Yeah.
That's part of it. Let's not do it again. And most times, I will say this about Nick Saban athletes, and I don't know every single instance, but you rarely hear about guys doing stuff twice there. You know,
yeah.
Guy may mess up.
A warning.
He has a conversation, whatever he does,
yeah.
Because we're not privy to that. But then you don't hear much about that. That's a good thing, because ultimately that means that young men are learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. They've got and some great matchups this weekend already in week two of college football. As we had the great games – some great games last week, but you got 13 Auburn versus number 3 Clemson, number 5 Oklahoma versus number 2 Ohio State, 15th Georgia versus number 24 Notre Dame, and number 14 Stanford versus number 6 USC. Already a huge Pac-12 battle. So, I mean, college football, as great as the NFL is on a week-to-week drama, I think college football, because the way it's we're evaluating, or the pollsters are, on performance, and it's the most unique. And I've done this before, Doug, where I said, well, we wouldn't do this in any other sport, but if you did it, the year would start and the Golden State Warriors would be preseason number one. Yeah, that makes sense, but how would you move them out? Oh, they lost two this week. They're two. You know, or Seattle's one of the favorites, or Patriots are one. It's easy. You win the division, you make the playoffs. This is weird. It's all subjective here.
It is. You know, the reason is because they all don't play each other.
Right.
And so that makes it a little different. The one thing about college is it's like, that's why the rankings at the beginning of the season mean so much, because you get to hold that.
Yeah.
And if you can win, you can hold it. But if you lose, you don't hold it.
Right.
And with the exception of a few teams, maybe I would have said Florida State, but now no quarterback. Alabama, you know, you're right. It's just maybe one or two every year who are really, really good. My point is, they can lose and they can still hold on to that. And even if maybe if they lose twice, but at the end of the year, they are just thrashing people, and depending on strength of schedule and all these different things, you can still get into the playoff.
I think the first one matters too much, in my opinion, because we're going off of last year, which is that's all we have. I haven't seen anybody play this year. So if we didn't have week one ranking, so before last week, and I'm going to ask you to try, if you were a pollster right now,
okay,
and it's hard not to know this, but you knew that Florida State was number 3 versus number 1, and they lost to number 1, there's no shame in that. But if you in your mind, if there were no rankings to that, and you were now putting out a poll, would you have an 0-1 Florida State in your top 25?
No.
Right.
Especially with the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
But
from 3, you're going to drop them, and I think they went to 10 or 11, and that's
mm-hmm.
But if you had from starting now, you'd probably have them 30th, and that's fine. But that's because the first one matters so much; they got a chance.
Yes, and that's
which is unfair to me.
It is. That's the whole point. Because what about? I can remember when you used to go through this with Boise State, and
mm-hmm.
then they finally broke through and beat Oklahoma and Peterson that year. You know, it's like they're good, but we'll put them right at a number, in my opinion, right at a number where. Every week, you know, it's the new rankings are coming out. So you put them at a number where they'll probably always be on the outside looking
mm-hmm.
in. That's how I always felt about it. It used to make me laugh. I'm like, man, they can't jump up any higher. But kind of like Gonzaga, it's all about strength of schedule.
Yeah.
And that's how Gonzaga got good in men's basketball,
mm-hmm.
is they went and they started playing
Seton
Hall
and
everyone on their court, taking their lumps. And also, that's how you get recruits, too, because they want to be on the big stage.
And then now, I mean, this year in the tournament, they were a one seed.
Yes.
Came in and they made the final. I mean, they were the team that went far before, but now it's now they've got that name.
Right.
Now they're going to start. I don't know what they are this year to start it when it comes out, but they'll be top 10, top 15.
Man, we used
probably.
To smack them around when I was in school. Just bang them.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore, buddy.
But again, the preseason one, I mean, I don't know. Duke will be up there. North Carolina will be up there. I don't even know if they're – I'm sure their teams are going to be good.
Yeah.
But
see, with that, though, it doesn't really matter. Because at the end of the, you know,
they all make the tournament.
Yeah, if you make the tournament, you have a chance. Here, it matters because if you're not in the top four, there's no chance.
Right.
You can go to the Shea Olay, shave your face on Tuesday bowl, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Sure. You don't know. It's just whatever it is. Oh, man.
But that's why I like the college football going to eight. If you go to eight and they say they have five power conferences, well, those five power – you win your conference, you are in. We'll figure out the other three. And now there'll be debate on that forever. But now there's four, and you don't always win your conference, and you get, well, Alabama's good. They didn't win the SEC, but we'll put them in. Wait, what are we doing?
Yeah. See, with that, it's so tough because the SEC is so very tough. By the time they come out of that, they've walked the gauntlet. Grant and I had a guest on, I can't remember who it was, but he was a college insider, and he said that the next step is going to be to go to six. The two top seeds are going to get a bye, and that's how they'll go about it instead of jumping to eight.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Eight would be awesome if they could get something similar to what the NCAA has. Basketball, I think it would be great. Obviously, it won't be that many because you're not going to play that many games. But, you know, maybe, I don't know, if eight is the end result, great. But even if it grew a little bit, I would be comfortable with that because, man, college football is fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, eight is three more games for a team that's going all the way and whoever they're playing. And one of my bigger problems with college football, too, is let's say Ohio State's in the final game and they played Michigan on November 20th, that championship, or the first one, the final four game is a lot of times like December 31st, and then the other one's January. Like, that's not any normal routine. You might have 1 week off, but this is like 4 and 5 weeks, 40 days off. That's crazy.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Now, the only thing is if someone got hurt in the last game, they might
they'll
be back.
That. Yeah.
You know, when you're seeding those and all of that, that's something that you'll have to take into consideration is injuries and different things. Because like what happened with Florida State, not only – like if they would have lost that game, Jay, and he would have – the quarterback would have survived, do they drop to 10 still or are they
probably
a little
not.
Closer?
Yeah. And then you also feel like, oh, they'll probably get back in it. Now people think – they drop, but you also think they won't make it back.
Exactly. Yeah. So you move them, like I was saying about Boise State, you move them far enough that even if this young kid starts playing well, they probably won't make it back, but also they won't take anybody else's spot.
Yeah. And I guess to go back to why I don't like the first rankings, it's off of last year. I'm going to go back to UCLA. Not that they deserve to be in there because their game was a miracle, but they're out of the top 25, and they still are, which is fine. But what on earth would they have to do? Do they have to go undefeated?
Yes.
And there's no chance.
Yes.
I mean, that's not happening. I don't think anybody in the Pac-12 will.
No, but if they did, they would deserve it.
Right. But how – I mean, it would be – they could be like 8-0 and beating a lot of teams in their 13th. And I'm going, wait a minute. the schedule they've gone through to get them to 13, but if there were SC is right now – like SC could lose one, will still be ahead of UCLA, work their way back up because they started at four because of why?
Like Washington last year.
Yeah. Because
Washington
we thought
loses,
they're good. Well, they might be, but we put them there – in unknown territory before a game has even been played.
In the hard part about that, Jason, is you got so many guys from Alabama that get drafted and go to the NFL. That means they re-up with all these new high school guys.
Yep.
We have no idea if they're going to translate. Now, let's take into consideration that these are five-star. I mean, they almost can't miss. But it happens from time to time. You don't know what they're going to be, but you're still going to rank them number one because you know that – Saint Saban, Saint Nick is reloaded and ready to roll.
All right, we got week one of the NFL coming up. Doug may be watching Wilson versus Rodgers. I'm going to try to convince him Goff versus Tolzien.
What?
Bortles versus Savage.
Who?
Maybe McCown versus Peterman.
Peterman.
Yeah, exactly.
You say Peterson?
I don't know who it is. We'll figure out who these quarterbacks are week one. That's coming up next here on KHDK. Jason Ross, Doug Christie, back here on the Grant and Doug Show on Sports 1140 KHDK. 6:45, Angels and A's. Not that the A's were going to go anywhere here, but seven in a row they've lost. Ugh.
Yeah, but, you know, early, I mean, you know, you send Yonder up Yonder way.
Nice.
You see how I did that?
Yeah, I did.
You'd send the pitcher.
Yeah, Doolittle. They moved
to New York.
Yeah. Oh, now the one. Gosh, why am I blanking on his name? Sonny Gray. Yeah.
And yeah. He just left Gray Days.
Yes.
See how all this comes together? Wow, look at that.
All right, well, I'm going to see how you're going to fix this one.
Well, they do little. Okay, I'll quit right now. My bad. Sorry, everybody out there.
How would you sell? Like, the NFL doesn't need a lot of selling. People love the NFL. People watch the NFL. You're now in this. You're in the media. And you're getting the call. You're on, I don't know if it's Fox or CBS this weekend, and it's Blake Bortles and Tom Savage. Doug's like, I'm calling in sick on this one. I mean, you don't get the Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson game. Oh, yeah, I might give you Goff versus, no, not Luck, but Scott Tolzien.
That one has a little sizzle.
Because you want to see Brissett.
No, it does. I'm thinking they're going to get him in there.
Yeah.
But that one has, you know, number one pick last year, didn't play. Now he's getting to play. Let's see what he's got.
All right. Okay. Sell me a little bit on that one.
Bortles
and Savage.
Dead air.
Houston, he'll be talking about J.J. Watt and his
Harvey
relief. Yeah. But we're talking back to the quarterbacks. You got nothing, huh?
Nothing. Nothing for the quarterbacks. Defense, the $12 million that he's raised for the Houston area, by the way, absolutely awesome. J.J., well done. Some of those lack a little bit of pizzazz.
Would you be able to sell the Jets? Well, the Jets will be a hard sell anyway. But this week they open up
can't do anything for you with the Jets.
With Buffalo, and, you know, they've got some injuries with Tyrod Taylor, so we could see Peterman versus McCown.
You should have known the Jets season was going to go bad when the guy got up there and he said, J-E-S-T.
I don't know how to – wait, Jets,
man.
Who are they?
Whatever he did.
Yeah.
They should have known it was going downhill right then. No, I don't have much for you there, man.
I think our QB matchups, it's your game.
No doubt.
I can't think of there's not anything better. There's games that have good quarterbacks.
Yes.
One better than the other, but those are the weak ones. But Wilson versus Rodgers is about as good as it gets.
It's about as good as it gets. You got defenses coming at each other, NFC. There's so many different pieces to that puzzle that I think are going to be fantastic. You got New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Dallas.
Eli Cowboys. Prescott, that's good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's good. Well, the game should be good, but that quarterback matchup's good.
Interesting. I mean, Eli, he's not going to be playoff Eli right now. He just doesn't do that early in the year. He comes on when he needs to, but he does real well against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And there's been a wee bit of smack talk, my friend, by Mr. McAdoo, the head coach for the Giants. What do you think about that?
I kind of like it in a sense that enough of the leagues, especially coming from a coach, players are going to do it some. Some are super reserved, and that's fine. Some guys will never tell you anything. But when a coach says a little bit of something, I kind of like that.
Throw it up on the bulletin board if that's what you need. How do you say it? They all run the same if you stop the run.
Yeah.
Well said, sir. Yeah. That is right. And I think they have stopped the run. That one, there's a little juice between those two.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would say that New York beating them twice last year. They were, you know, Dallas was supposed to be the absolute darlings, and they were for quite some time. But again, no playoff win.
Yeah.
That'll be a good matchup as well.
And what we do, you know, talking about teams and everybody every day, Mondays are perfect after an NFL weekend to do what we just kind of did on college football, the overreactions.
I mean,
it's... You know, the Raiders, I think this is a this is a good quarterback matchup, Mariota versus Carr, especially in years to come.
Mm-hmm.
But Raiders have expectations. And, Doug, if they go into Tennessee, who they did last year and won, but if it's not a good day and the defense gives up 28 or more, and it's like, they're not good. They're we're going to jump all over them already. But the Titans are a pretty good team they're opening up with.
Yeah, and Mariota, both of these quarterbacks coming off broken legs, by the way. That's a little weird. But they were a good offense last year. I would anticipate that this is going to be a tough one for the Raiders. If they go on the road and win this game starting the year, that would be highly impressive in my estimation. I want to see how many touches Marshawn Lynch is going to get, especially with, you know, and with Carr coming back off of the injury. you know, Marshawn wants to show his wares.
Yeah.
So it's no better person to have back there that's willing to put hat on hat and run through those holes. So that's going to be an interesting matchup.
I'm a little surprised. I just saw this now. I mean, I guess it makes some sense. They're the home team, but Tennessee's favored by two. It's a little surprising to me.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know what I thought the line would be, but maybe I thought it'd be the other way around.
What was their record last year? Were they like 9-7?
Yeah, Titans. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, it was a very good team.
Yeah, they
were. Nice team.
And the Raiders were a bit better, won some close games, especially the first one, going for a 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's call them kind of roughly equal. Maybe the Raiders a little bit more, but you're playing at home.
Yeah.
There's a I think for Tennessee this year, there's a swelling down there that says we're going to do something this year. So I could almost see that two. What did you say, 2.5?
That's two for the Titans. Yeah.
Two for the Titans. I could almost see that.
And you know the NFL is going, and every team is looking for those franchise quarterbacks. So do you think all these guys we mentioned, like Bortles, who they drafted to be the guy, doesn't seem to be Savage, Goff, Tolzien, McCown, Peterman. I mean, that's so tough when you're going out there this week with like the Jets and Bills, but there's still going to be people across America watching that game.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to be true fans.
Yeah.
I think I might go back past that one.
Yeah.
But NFL, sell it. The one good thing is you got defenses and you got like your J.J. Watt and, you know,
skilled
your Michael
Bennett
and, you know, different players if you don't have that franchise quarterback, similar to what we saw with the Baltimore Ravens when it was Ray Rice and not Ray Rice.
Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
And the backup, that wasn't a backup quarterback, but he was the manager.
Gilfer, yeah.
Yeah, just manage.
Yeah.
Don't mess up. So
that's right.
So when they do the promo, they're showing Ray Lewis.
Right.
They're not showing
the
quarterback.
Star.
Normally, they show the quarterback.
Yeah, we'll go over some more of these week one matchups now that we're here, including just a couple of days away from the Patriots and the Chiefs. That game, of course, can be heard right here on KHTK coming up on Thursday. We'll get into some more NFL next as we start the second hour right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.